It's
of course, Kinitsunoda is massive. So we are... Oh, thank you. I'm going to try this again. Seems like some people are having trouble hearing. I forgot already how to do this. How do we do this? Oh, we also have a fan. Okay, it seems like it has juice, right? How do we do this? Like this? The other way. Like this. Ah. How do we do it in there? Like this?
Yeah.
Okay, I don't know why it's so... Okay, can you hear? Yeah? Okay, great. So, powerful voice. Okay, this is okay? Okay, great. So, so we were discussing the issue of Kinitsunoda, and we want to start discussing Chitvasara in a couple of minutes. But we were, in the middle of that. So, again, this is obviously a massive topic. These are the things that I think highlight the most these issues. And I think that we were in the middle of discussing the Gemara Nedarim, is that where we're up to?
Yeah.
Yeah? Okay. So, one second. Yeah. Okay. So, what's the story with the Gemara in Nedarim? What's that?
Memkes.
Yeah. What's the story of the Gemara in Chatzayin?
The context of the Gemara in Chatzayin is delayed kinyanim.
Delayed kinyanim, the issue of kolsa kinyanim. Yeah. So that's where a lot of Rishonim developed the idea of kolsa kinyanim. So we'll get back to that in just a second. But before we get to that, or in context of getting to that also, go ahead, Yitzhak, since you volunteered. So the Gemara Daf Mem Ches on Beis, an interesting case. Yeah, what did he do?
So he wasn't a fan of some of the behavior of his son, so he said that...
Right, either he was a thief, and he was stealing a Nitzay Pishtan, or the other idea that the Rashi quotes here, it isn't the real Rashi, but Yista Amri Shoye Meshamed Atzma Milulmo Torah Vaya Osek Ba Nitzay Pishtan. Wow. Okay, anyways. Anyways, he wasn't a model citizen, right? So he was kind of being disinherited, right? So the, Amrulay,
v'yavai bar barach, tzuvah me'abon, and my, so what if your grandchild from the son is going to be a tamachacham, so I'm alone, lukni adin, v'yavai bar abri, tzuvah me'abon, likanyi. So he's being machmed to this son that if the grandchild is Talachacham, so he'll be machmed to him.
Right.
So
okay.
So I'm a Kubadisai, Kini Almanas Lahaknosu, the whole Kini Almanas Lahaknos, Lo Kani.
Oh. So what do you think about that in general? And then over Rav Nachman, Omar Kini.
Kini, the Hasudra, Kini Almanas Lahaknosu, and Sudar, of course, works. And that would also be a case of Kini Almanas Lahaknos. So maybe who says the machna can't hold on to the sudra? Meaning who says that's a kinyan menas lahaknos? Maybe it's a kinyan gomer of the sudra. So the ode sudra kinyan menas lahaknos v'kani min hashta. L'nifsi da'adein le'mas haikani l'chav yuhar b'rei tzorah me'ar abonon l'chav yuhad der sudra l'mari.
Yeah.
So it doesn't work.
Okay. So there are a few things just to talk about here quickly. Firstly, there seems to be a discussion. It's like whether or not if tafas mafkina or la mafkina. Okay, so what do you make of that? Meaning, if the fellow holds on to the sudar, right? Can he keep it or not? That seems to be a machlokas in the Gemara, and it's also machlokas lahalacha. Right, I mean the Ran here on Mem Tesav and Aleph says Inyan Alacha Kaimon Krav Nachman the Sudri Kinyan Menas Lahaknos Velo Matzi Makne La Kuve. Right, he has to give it back, and I think Tosas in Kiddushin Davav Medes, doesn't think that. right, the small Tosis on the bottom, where the Gemara compares Matana Manas Lahaksir with Chalipa. Anyway, so it's a Machlokas Lahalacha. What do you make of the Machlokas? Which is the more, let's say, Mechudash view?
It would be mechudash if you. Well, I guess it depends on how you use it in general. But if it's more of a formal meaning.
I mean, if I just said to you, like you didn't know anything, and you know, I asked you, you know, what happens to the sudar?
Right. So I like.
What would you have thought?
In general, it seems to be a more formal symbolic kinyan, and like there'd be no reason for the makan to hold on to it. But at the same time, if it is being used as an actual kinyan, as an exchange, so then it would make sense if he would
be able to. Yeah. In other words, it's surprising in the Gemara to find out that there's a view that he has to be machzir the chefetz. Because, you know, maybe he wouldn't want to or he wouldn't care to, you know, but that if he insisted on it, you know, the more you look at it as, and certainly if you look at this as any kind of barter, that's certainly, you know, doesn't make sense, right, that he can't keep the object. Even if you say that there's a formal, you know, there's a formal way to kind of focus or to concretize or to intensify, you know, Gemira's Das, you know, through this process, even then, you know, I would think, you know, that there's an exchange, at least in terms of the Sudar. It could just be that Lamaisa, in many cases, since it's a trinket, can be Kliyav Abishem or Shavapruta, right? And either way, it isn't, you know, the point isn't the actual, you know, Shivui Hadavar. So, you know, Lamaisa, often, you know, it's given back. But the idea that you can't keep it, even if you want to, is definitely Mechudash, right? So that already, you know, points in the direction of Kinyan Sudar as being something which is, you know, extraordinary, rule breaker. And again, if the more, you know, it's just a methodology, let's say, of creating, like, you know, the framework of Kinyan, you know, to avoid kind of Kinyan Devarim Mialma, as we've been explaining, you know, the more you can understand, well, you know, it doesn't really, the object itself doesn't go to him really either. It's just, you know, kind of a method. That's number one. So unless you say, you know, it's more just like an implicit, you know, Tanai, that he'll give it back, you know, but then of course you could play with that and you could be Mefarish or Mefarate differently. So that's point number one, just that phenomenon itself. Point number two, and very much related to it, is the question of Kniya Manas Lahaknos. So there's a machlokas in the Gemara here also, right, whether Kniya Manas Lahaknos is a kinyan or not. Now that in itself is fascinating. You know, again, there seem to be two different, you know, issues here. One is how do you understand Kniya Manas Lahaknos? How does it really work? Right, you could say that, again, you know, it's more in the effect, or is it really kind of, you know, a principled, you know, category? And what is the relationship between, let's say, Kni Almanas Lahaknos and something like, you know, Matan Almanas Lahaks? Everybody agrees Matan Almanas Lahaks here, Shema Matana. Right? Even the Gemara in Kiddushin, you know, on Vamad Beis, you know, is, in the end, says everybody agrees, and it's just, you know, Gzeira and Kiddushin Atu Chalipin, which is interesting. But there the Gemara actually compares Chalipin to Matan Almanas Lahaksir, you know, not so much to Kni Almanas Lahaknos. What's the difference between Matan Almanas Lahaksir, Kyle, what do you think, and Kni Almanas Lahaknos? I mean, they sound a lot alike, obviously. They do overlap a lot, you know. What's the point?
Matan Almanas Lahaksir, the object is going back and forth. More tangible.
I mean, you actually acquire the object, you know, for you know, at least the Zman Muat, or it could be Zman Ruba, whatever the agreed upon condition of the period is. It's a temporary ownership, and even then, in Matana Manas Lahaksir, it's not for now, but, you know, there's a massive Machlokas HaRishonim, like how to understand Matana Manas Lahaksir. You know, is it, you know, just a Tanai Bialma, it's a Matana Gemura and it's amanas lahachzir, and any legal restrictions of matana manas lahachzir are attributable exclusively to the effect of the fact that it's not going to remain with you, to knowing that lemaisa it's not going to remain with you permanently, even though none of those are actually imprinted on the kinyan itself. I mean, it's a kinyan gomor with a tnai, and therefore you would think that there would be as little as possible legal effect. And if there is some legal effect, as I say, it's in the lemaisa knowledge that sof-sof, you know, this object is going back. Or no. Matana manas lahachzir, the opposite way of saying it, is that matana manas lahachzir is a qualitatively, you know, limited kinyan. Like it's omeid lios chozer. And this is a huge debate, again, not for now, but like, do you have to makniv bechazara? You know, does it matter, you know, in terms of katan or things like that? You know, is it compared to like kinyan lizman katsuv or she'ela? All sorts of very fascinating, you know, issues connected with matan amanas lahachzir. Okay. But kinyan amanas lahaknos, assuming it is different from matan amanas lahachzir, right, seems to be like one madrega beyond even that. Chai, what would you say? So what's the problem in kinyan amanas lahachzir? If the problem of matan amanas lahachzir is whether, you know, the fate of the object, you know, to return limits the quality of the kinyan, what's the problem of kinyan amanas lahachnos?
You have like mamish nothing in it except for like this
form. It's a the extreme way to look at it, it's a mechanism. Meaning it's a mechanism I'm exploiting, you know, kinyan A to accomplish kinyan B. Right, you're the owner, le'inyan, you know, to be makneh to someone else. And the question is, can you, you know, is there such a kinyan? Can you have like just a facilitating or exploitive kind of kinyan like that? Or a means kind of a kinyan with, you know, no end in its own right, A. B, I would also raise a question, maybe it's the same question, from a bailus point of view, right? You know, can you... You know, are you sufficiently bailim to be makne? You know, Reuven is makne to Shimon almanas lahaknos lelevi is what I'm trying to say. So, is Shimon enough of a bailim? You know, since he never really has the chavetz doesn't really go through his rishus. So, is he enough of a bailim to be makne to Levi? Right. Is there any chalos kinyan L'Shimon, and is he enough of a bailim to do that? That seems to be the question of Kni Almanas Lahaknos. That seems like a very fundamental question. Yeah. Interesting, in the Sugya of Harsha, those of you who were still here with a couple of years back when we learned Shavuos, right? So in Sugya Daf Lamed Gimel, we spent, you know, some time on Harsha. And Harsha is like a super... Well, that's the question. Is he a shliach? Is he a super shliach? Is he? Is it hakna? Is it a kind of, you know, particular type of hakna? So the Ramban in Lachamos, in you know, especially in Bava Kama, Daf Ayin Amud Aleph, and again in his Kiddushim on Shavuos Daf Lamed Gimel. Yeah, those are two main sugyas, and a little bit the Raibid, but the Raibid has his own different formulations in Tzmim Deim, but. But the Ramban in particular discusses like, oh, maybe Harsha is like a Kni Almanas Lahaknos. But he goes interesting back and forth between like Kni Almanas Lahaknos and Matan Almanas Lahaksir. You know, almost using in the same piece, you know, them interchangeably. But they're not interchangeable, as we know. This Gemara proves that they're not interchangeable. They're just, you know, very, very different. What's Harsha? What the idea of meaning, in other words, I make you a Mursha, right, so that you can, as the Mursha, you can be, you know, Toveya, let's say, for Shavuos Eidus. Shavuos Eidus has to be mi Pia Toveya. So it sounds like a regular Shliach cannot be Toveya on behalf of the Mishaleach, but if somebody's a Mursha, that's considered, you know, mi Pia Toveya. Okay, that's one example of it. And you know, there are other examples also where the Mursha has the ability to be makna in any way, you know, or to appoint another shliach, a whole bunch of issues that are connected to that. So the Ramban says, oh, maybe it's kind of like, you know, he's not really, you know, an owner, you know, because the Gemara says, Hilchos HaShliach Shavya, you know, there are indications that the Mursha's, you know, role is very circumscribed, very limited. So, you know, so how can he be both limited and yet, you know, a Toveya? So there are all sorts of answers to that, not for now. But the Ramban keeps, like, you know, it's like, Kinyan Menas Lahaknos, is it like Matano Menas Lahakzir? Because, you know, these are kind of the issues. So, Kinyan Menas Lahaknos is a very fascinating category. The Gemara here is suggesting that maybe Kinyan Sudar is Kinyan Menas Lahaknos. Is that really true? Getting back to Yitzhak for a second, or Kyle, either one.
It's not the same chayfens.
It's not a classic kinyan menas lahaknos.
It's not the same chayfens.
So yeah, a kinyan menas lahaknos classically is, again, I give this gemara to you not so that you can keep it even for a second, right? But so that you can transfer it to someone else. Kni amenas. It's a kinyan legabe the koach lahaknos, and that's a question. Is there such a chalos as a Kenyan or as a Bailim? Can you just be a Bailim, legabe, transfer, you don't have anything on your own? Maybe to be a Bailim or to have a Kenyan, you know, requires objectively that there be some actual, you know, tangible relationship with the Chayfetz. Good. But that's not usually what happens. Even if you say Kenyan Sudar is Choser, right? It's not Kni Almanas Lahaknos, you're not receiving the handkerchief, you know, only legabe transferring the handkerchief to someone else, right? You're either going to keep it, or you're going to give it back to the other guy. It's a lot more like Matano Menas Lahakzir, you know, than it is Kinyan Menas Lahaknos, which is why the Gemara in Kiddushin, Vav Medeis, you know, which, you know, does compare Matano Menas Lahakzir and Chalipin, you know, is an interesting counterpoint to this Gemara. Except that the Gemara there, you know, is maybe, according to Bali Tosis, it's a Dindrabanan, right? Although the Rambam doesn't see it as a Dindrabanan there, I have to say. But again, either way, the Gemara, it's Matano Menas, sees it as a kind of Matano Menas Lahakzir. So it's strange that the Gemari here compares this, or is toled on Kni Amenas Lahaknos. No? And I don't have a good answer. I mean, I have an answer. I don't have an answer that, you know, completely, explains that phenomenon. It's not Kni Amenas Lahaknos. And since Kni Amenas Lahaknos here is under, you know, siege, in other words, is a machlokas whether Kni Amenas Lahaknos is a Kenyan. So, you know, you would think that, you know, as the Gemara is applying it, you know, and we already know it's controversial, that, you know, you would ein lecha bala chidusha, you know. Okay? That's Kinyan Menas Lahaknos, and even if you given that Kinyan Menas Lahaknos is a problematic Kenyan, so good. But that doesn't mean you have to start, you know, applying it, you know, in an expansive way, things that aren't really comparable. Ah. But I think the answer, you know, is rooted in this exact issue and question. Namely, what makes Kniyam, again, if you look at narrowly, so Kniyam and Hasok is, you know, is there a Kinyan legabe Hakna? Or is there a Hakna when you're not the Bailim other than, you know, Lahaknos? Right? If you look at it that way, then what the Gemara says here is just Tamua Bioter. Like, what does that have to do with Kinyan Sudar? Right? Even if it goes back automatically, you can't keep it. So what? That's just not this case. Ah. But if the idea, the broader idea is, you know, whether there is something called, whether you can have a Kinyan, which isn't really about the Cheftza, you know, but a Kenyan for the sake of facilitating another Kenyan, Like, think of it that way. Maybe that's the issue in Kiyomanas Laknas. Right? So maybe that is important to Sudo. Again, what we've been trying to say is, you know, it's not an exchange, it's not barter, it's not, you know, hana, right? What is it? It's the framework of creating, you know, Kenyan number one somehow, whether it's, you know, on the in the same direction or in the boomerang effect, you know, depending on Caleb Shalkona, Caleb Shalmakna. So it's what you're doing is you are, in, you know, you're generating, you know, kind of the context and the framework of Kenyan. And therefore, your Gemira's Das, you know, is an independent Kenyan, but it's Metzurah. The framework is the Metzurah part, and that's, I think, where the Hayi Hana, you know, comes into play. The question is, you know, is there such a phenomenon? Can you on the first side of it, in other words, if really you're not serious about the Kenyan, it's only a Kenyan L'shem, you know, Hakna, or a Kenyan L'shem Kenyan, you know, maybe that's not called Bailus, or and it's not called Kenyan, in which case, you know, Kenyan Suda doesn't never get off the ground. In that sense, it isn't the structure of Kiyomanas Laknas. It's not, oh, you know, Ruvain's Makna to Shimon, the Koach Hakna to Levi. Okay, but what both have in common, right, is that there's no bailus, really, or there's no... It's a purely... Step number one is a purely facilitating step. And maybe that's antithetical to the necessary focus of a Kenyan. It was a question. Yeah?
Isn't it the same Lemaisa problem with the Sudar, because the guy doesn't have his chlis tashmish on the Sudar, like he couldn't, like, use it as his, you know... Like,
I'm not sure that he can't use it, but... Maybe I mean, just because you have to return it doesn't mean necessarily you can use it. But even if he can't, let's assume, in the end of the day, that's still not structurally the same. I'm just making the point that Kiyomanas Laknas is giving somebody a koach rak legabe hakna. And here, you're not giving him a koach legabe hakna. You're giving him some sort of a kinyan, right, in order that, you know, he can then make a Kenyan. A different Kenyan. In the case of Kiyomanas Laknas, you're trying to transfer this Rambam. Right? So I give you the Rambam, not for you, but so that you can give it to your friend.
Right.
That's Kiyomanas Laknas. Right. And in the Kenyan Sudar, now again, by your telling me, but maybe there are no Tashmisha, which may very well be true, you're kind of going back to what I'm saying, which is, it isn't the exact, you know, or the precise description of the case, which you could have said it was. I mean, ein kinyan l'inyan hakna. It's really the idea that maybe ein kinyan, you know, kisha ein shum bailus v'tashmisha.
Right.
It's not what it is. It's kind of what it's not. And that's for a kinyan to be valid, right? What you need is that there's to be some intrinsic, or some expression of ownership or usage through of ownership, same thing, pretty much, right? So you don't really have that, but that's only true, of course, if you don't look at Kenyan Sudar, you know, even symbolically as an exchange, right? But either way, I think it's a very mechudash gemara. Yeah, I think most were saying the same thing. I'm just trying to. But that isn't, it's not Kiyomanas Laknas, is what I'm saying. And it's very striking, again, you know, have to look at the, you know, the full range, but most of the Rishonim don't even, you know, they're not troubled by this. They should have been. More of them should have been, is what I'm saying. Some of the Achronim, I believe, ask the question. But this, I think, is really what's happening. And the more you look at, you know, Kenyan Sudar the way that we've been looking at it for the Rambam and for a few others, you know, again, it doesn't solve the problem in the sense that it's not exact, but it doesn't need to be exact. You know, it's the common denominator. The reason that Kiyomanas Laknas is not a Kenyan you know, is applicable to a certain understanding of Kinyan Sudar, even though structurally, you know, they're different. That's really what I'm saying. Okay? Yeah. Josh? Good. Okay. You're in agreement. Okay, good.
And I do wonder if, like,
the Rishonim who... Ah, see? Couldn't help himself. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, no, for sure. Go ahead.
I just do wonder if the Rishonim who only accept Rav Nachman by Kinyan V'Nas L'Achnos, but don't accept in... By Sudar, sorry. But don't accept in by the other cases of Kinyan V'Nas L'Achnos are saying that.
Say that again?
You know, I do wonder, the Ran that Rabbi quoted, does quote Rishonim who think that we paskin like Rav Nachman only by Sudar.
Yeah.
I do wonder if what's motivating that group.
I mean, again.
Because Rebbe Sor is a reason to say.
I mean, he's. The Ran is weighing in on the question of, you know, whether or not Im Tafas Mafkinan or Lo Mafkinan. Now, of course, if Tafas Lo Mafkinan, then it's certainly not Kinyal Manas Lahaknos. That's all he's saying. Lin Halacha Basudar Kamelan Krav Nachman de Sudra Kinyal Manas Lahaknos. Who? Vilo Matzi Makne La'akuve. I mean, he can't keep it. He's saying that. And Tosis in Kiddushin. What? Yeah. Then he himself, the Ran himself, brings up the Sigin Kiddushin. If you look at Tosis in Kiddushin, I don't have it here, but if somebody has it, you know, like Tosis weighs in on that issue. Stephen, you have it? And, you know, the one, the little one, Yonatan, on bottom of Vavman base. Yeah, yeah. Right. So what is he, what's his conclusion? That the guy could keep it if he wants. Okay. So that's an argument, the halacha, you know, which day in the Gemara we pass can like. Okay. But the connection to Kinyan Manas L'Haknos, you know, that, and whether this is a classic Kinyan Manas L'Haknos, you know, that well, that issue is a separate point. Okay, so that's number two. Number three, of course, is, it sounds like in this Gemara, that in the case of Sudar, the Kinyan is immediate. Right? It's not, it sounds that way. But the Gemara doesn't actually say it explicitly. But Od Sudra Kni Amanas Lahaknos Ukni Min Hashta. Right? Does that mean Me'akshav? That every Kinyan Sudra is Me'akshav? As opposed to Halin Nuxin De Hadain. Is the Gemara here saying that every Kinyan Sudar is Me'achshav? Many Rishonim think so.
Yeah, that would be the Pashtus of the Gemara.
Yeah.
The
and the Meiri, if you saw it, did you see it?
Yeah.
Disagrees, correct?
Yeah, the end he has...
Dea. Yeah. That's not true. That Kinyan Sudar is not always Me'achshav. So this is very relevant to the question of the Gemara and Kav Zayin. Right? And especially the Gemaras in Ksuvas and so on, namely? Kalsa Kinyano. So what is typically Kalsa Kinyano?
When the Maisa Kinyan is separated from the Chalos Kinyan.
Correct. Very well said. So, again, you do a Maisa Kinyan, and it's and you have to add, when the Maisa Kinyan is separated from the Chalos Kinyan in the sense that they take place at different times, and there's insufficient Tziruf, or remnant of the Maisa Kinyan Bishas Chalosa Kinyan. Correct? So let's say you do let's say there's a Kinyan Shtar and you know the Shtar is written for like a delayed Kinyan, you know, whatever transaction that's going to take place Lachar Lamed Yom, and by Lamed Yom the Shtar has been destroyed. Or, you know, if Meshicha requires a particular venue, and you do a Meshicha Lachar Lamed Yom, and the animal is no longer in that venue, you know, on Yom Lamed. Right, the Gemara says in Kiddushin, there's no problem of Kolsa Kinyano in Kesef, because it's always mitzurav. Why? Because if somehow the kinyan doesn't go through, then you have to pay back the money. So you're always haunted, you know, by the debt part of it. So the debt part of it kind of links, you know, the initial chiyuv. You know, it's still kaiva kayim. It still has impact at the later zman. So when it comes to, you know, kesef, there's no kolsa kinyano problem. But if we're talking about meshicha or shtar or you know, and so on, so that's the question. What about kinyan sudar? If you make a kinyan sudar, you know, and by the time you reach the shloshim yom, you already returned the chayfetz, you know, so, you know, that should be a problem of kolsa kinyano. So that is the majority, way majority view of the Rishonim and the Achronim. You know, that kolsa kinyano applies also to kinyan sudar. And that's not particularly problematic. I mean, you know, whatever you want to say about kinyan sudar, right, it doesn't have to be, you know, distinctive in every respect, right? So there are things, you know, that are just, as I said, there are things that have to do with the Maisa Kinyan or the Chalosa Kinyan or, you know, the nature of the bond between the Maisa and the Chalosa Kinyan. And there are things that just have to do with, you know, any Kinyan, right? So the Shita that says that Kolsa Kinyano applies to Kinyan Sudar is not a difficult or problematic Shita. However, what's unique about the Meiri is that he seems to think that Kolsa Kinyano does not apply to Kinyan Sudar. That is very remarkable, right? Because you don't have the, you know, the Kesef factor, you know, which says it isn't really Kolsa Kinyano. So, you know, how can you explain it? But if you explain that Kinyan Sudar is not a Maisa Kinyan Begufa Davar in any way, because it's a Kinyan of Gemiras Das, just very different. So the idea that you need to kind of, that there needs to be a remnant of the Maisa B'Shasa Chalos, is just, you know, maybe not true for Kinyan Sudar. Right? So when it comes to Kinyan Sudar, there's no din of Kalsa Kinyano, perhaps. So it's also very, very interesting that there is a, you know, in the Sugya of Chazara, as we discussed, the relationship between Kinyan Sudar and other Kinyanim comes up. I mentioned, first of all, the Sefer Yashar. But first of all, just to note that the language of the Sefer Yashar is very striking. Right, Sefer Yashar says, you know, there's no reason to be mechalik between Kinyan Sudar and other things because they're just all Kinyanim. Anybody see that? I don't know if I assigned it. Just 1 second. I'll give you the exact number. There's a Tuf Reish Pei Gimel. And the Ramban quotes it in Babasra. Quotes the Sefer Yashar. Quotes it right at the top. So just like, you know, I just think it's an interesting formulation. Yeah? Anybody have it? Hey, Tan, go ahead. A little louder.
This is by Chazara.
By Chazara? Yeah. Right? So that he's not just, you know, disagreeing. But you could disagree and you could say that, you know, these are very different types of kinyanim, but still there's a common denominator that's koveya with regard to Chazara. Like everything is, you know, has an element of das, and wherever there's an element of das, there's also maybe, you know, like an escape clause or timing factor, you know, for Gemiras Das. But that's not the argument of Rebbeinu Tam, right, Eitan? He's really just saying, like, well, why would you want to be mechalik? Kinyan Sudar's better than anybody else for some reason. Right, so that's very interesting. Anyways, but of course for the Rishonim who, you know, the majority view, which follow the Rambam, so now the question is, you know, it's different, you know, it's not so different, you know, but there are certain technical differences, like, you know, Davar Pitom, it isn't really about the Kinyan, it's about the type of transaction that you use a kinyan for, assuming that isn't just, you know, part of the story, you know, like we talked about the Rosh and the Yer Shushan and so on? Or is it really accentuating in a technical way the difference between a Maisa Kinyan Begufa Davar and a Kinyan Das? It's also a second possibility. Or in a fundamental way, like, you know, Kinyan Gemir is Das, so you have to give the person, you know, more time. Okay, so it's also interesting in that context, as I mentioned, that the Nemukei Yosef and then the Poskim in Shulchan Aruch discuss, you know, are there two levels or are there three levels, right? You know, Kin and Suter might be unique, and what about Kesef and Shtar, as opposed to, let's say, Chazaka Meshicha Hagba, where there really is a physical Maisa Begufa Davar. You don't have the physical Maisa Begufa Davar in Shtar or Kesef, right? But it is, you know, still more related. And there is a Maisa Kinyan of some sort. Okay. So in a similar fashion, it's interesting to discuss the Kesef Mishnah and the Rambam in Perikid Aleph Halacha Zayin of Kesmechira. Okay, what's that issue about? Hey, Tanya, you saw it? Yeah. Like, there's a problem a little bit with the Rambam in Perikid Aleph Halacha Zayin and Perikid Aleph Halacha. Like Aleph. The what? Yeah, so the issue is, these are again Asmachta issues, right? The Perikid Aleph, that's what we talk about, Yud Aleph Tesvav. Right? Perikid Aleph is the Asmachta, you know, Makna Ben Karka Ben Metaltlin Behisna. Tnoim Shef Shalakaimon, you know, Im Niskaimwa Tnoim Nikna, Im Loniskaimwa Lokana, Kvar Bjarna Mishvatei Tnoim, Bamedvar Mamur Mishakana Bedarak Minadrachim, Variation of Lakaimwa Tnai. But Avil Lokana Ata Vihisni Moshim Iskaim Tnaiza Yikna, right? Avim Loiskaim Lo Yikna, Avapishin Iskaim Das Alatnai, not Kinyan Alatnai. And then he has, you know, these cases, you know, etc. But then in Halacha Zayin, Eitan, what does he have in Zayin? Kol Omer Knei Miakshav. So Miakshav implies, I guess, greater seriousness, or maybe it's not Das ala Tanai anymore because it's Igloi Lama Freya. Ketzad? Yeah. Okay. So the Kesef Mishnah has a very, very great difficulty. What's the problem? And he has like very interesting deos. He just points out, right? I mean, if the Rambam holds that every kinyan sudar is meyakshav, you know, so like what's going on with this need to say meyakshav? Is that what he says? Klomar de ilo kana miyado afagav de amar meyakshav lav klumu. Right, let's. If a guy says me'achshav and didn't do a kinyan, that's nothing. U'ma'achar the kaimel and shakol advarim niknim bekinyan sudar. K'mosh kasser rabbeinu beperikay me'ilchos halakos elu halacha hey. Afil lo amar me'achshav kana l'das rabbeinu shakasa perik zeh hamakne be'mekarke be'metalten v'hisna be'medvam or shakana b'derek and so on. V'lo hiskusha me'achshav kasha lama hitzruch shiyomer me'achshav k'dei shelo yasmachta. Right. So here, now this of course reminds us a lot of what? Kyle? The what? Exactly. Excellent. The whole discussion of the poskim in Shulchan Aruch, right? You know, that whole business. So, you know, you need me'achshav, you don't need me'achshav, you know, the sma, the whole discussion, correct? So you have that here earlier in the Kesef Mishnah in a way. But what he ends up saying, I think Eitan's still talking, right? Is like all sorts of opposite deos about, is Kinyan Sudar less of an asmachta or more of an asmachta? Right? Yeah, go ahead. Do you have it there? Im ken kasha lama hitzrich shiomer me'ashav kinyan shal yi asmachta. The Einlo, yeah, go ahead. So that's the first one. Even if it is me'achshav, right? Or maybe you never need it, or you only need it here, or you need to say it here. So this is a daya that says that Kinyan Sudar is less effective, or more prone, more vulnerable, more sensitive to asmachta than other Kinyanim. Right? Like, why would that be? So again, technically, it could be because there's no physical kinyan b'guf adavar. And conceptually, it could be because since it's a kinyan das, therefore the asmakta issue is, you know, either better or worse. Right? You know, worse because the whole thing hinges on the gemar, you know, the gemara makni. And we're not sure if that's, you know, being, you know, weighed seriously or not. You know, of course, better, because you could say, well, that's what Kinyan Sudar does. You know, it establishes that, you know, you're serious, you know, and that you're committed. So this is a very interesting Kesa Mishnah, right? The Bishlam Chazaka, go ahead. But here he's thinking, you know, that the question is whether he did a maisa b'guf adavar, you know, not that it's a kinyan das, but it's everything but, you know, meshicha and chazaka, right? So then kesef and shtar go with kinyan sudar, just like we discussed the other day, right? The sma suggestion that when it comes to chazara, you know, maybe pruta is like, you know, kinyan sudar. Right? So here's what he's saying. Maybe what's unique is a real maisa kinyan b'guf adavar, as opposed to shtar kesef or kinyan sudar. But of course, you could have said just kinyan sudar because of the, you know, there's zero maisa kinyan, and even more so, it's a kinyan das. Okay. Va'od. But this is the suggestion that, you know, you only need me'achshav for you don't need me'achshav for chazaka and meshicha, but maybe you would for kesef and shtar and kinyan sudar. But initially it sounded like he was saying specific kinyan sudar. Va'od. Yeah, so this is the Kesef Mishnah's way of saying, like, no big deal, right? Kinyan Sudar is like a regular Kinyan. The Efshar. Make kin. That's what he's saying there. Again, first of all, he's lumping again Kesef Shtar and Sudar together. And they'll only work as a kinyan b'me'achshav, right? U'masha kosev Rabbeinu, ay, b'med v'amur, b'shakana b'derech echa me'adrachim, ein kavanos alomar, shakana b'eza me'adrachim. Right? Eladafta, shakana derech, b'derech miyuchad me'adrachim, shakona b'emdainu chazaka. Okay, so that's another possibility. Skip a little bit. Va'odei Shlomar. These are like four different deos in the Kesa Mishnah. Odei Shlomar, the Kinyan Stama. You have that? Halacha Yud Gimel. So that's, of course, very fascinating. Why?
That opinion is just a way to
to show that you're not, it's not a nismakta. This is the opposite in a way. Right? And of course, quoting Perikei Halakha Yud Gimel, that those are the Rambams where he's talking about, you know, what the people mistakenly think. You know, they do kinyanim when it doesn't work, they do kinyanim when it's not necessary, right? But again, this confirms the analysis, which is Yesh Dvarim Bego. Like, the people are doing that, and, you know, we accept the Rambam's verdict, but it's not a coincidence, you know, and it's not without, you know, some conceptual merit. It's just not true, not enough. Okay. Hilkach, go ahead. So here's a situation where the chumrah ends up being a kula, right? What he's saying is kinyan sudar is everything. Oh, it shows that he's serious. You know, he's really going to do it. You know, but the guy doesn't mean it as a kinyan. He means just to. It's really like a halacha yud gimel. It doesn't have any effect. You know, it's just like he does a kinyan sudar to show that he's not mahatel, but it doesn't mean actually to be kona. Mashen Kain Chazaka and those things, because they have nothing to do with Gemira's Das or seriousness or Havtacha, right? Avoshar Kinyanin, O Kishomarach Me'achshav, Bekinyan. Yeah. So you Dafka need in Kinyan Sudar always Me'achshav in order for it even to work, never mind the problem of Asmakta. That's very Mechudash. And then one, you know, for good measure, one last vote. Here's where he differentiates a second time, but for, you know, going back to the earlier one is a contrast. Kesef Ushtar is different than Sudar. Yeah. So again, this is another reason why Kinyan Sudar is inferior. It needs to be propped up by Me'achshav, either on a Kinyan level or on a Asmachta level, or both. Avokashal Perizeh, de lo havelin me'mer kola omer kni Me'achshav, right? In kan Asmachta kola, hoche havelin me'mer, b'medvar marim shein tzorach lomer Me'achshav. Because it isn't really about Asmachta only, it's about the effectiveness of the Kinyan. Either way, so, Bikitsur, this whole Kesef Mishnah is analyzing the relationship between, you know, three different types of kinyanim, right? The kinyan begufa davar, like chazaka, meshicha, hagba'a, you know, sira maybe, things like that. Then you have Kesef and Shtar, right? And then you have kinyan sudar. And Kinyan Sudar, you know, Misvara is either going to be a lot better, you know, because it, you know, is not a Kinyan Begufa Davar, doesn't need to be a Kinyan Begufa Davar, it already implies a certain higher level of commitment and seriousness, you know, etc. Or, precisely because it has a Dvarim aspect, or and because you know, it's not begufa davar. You know, it's going to be a flimsier kind of a kinyan, in which case it's going to need to be propped up by me'achshav. So again, the whole discussion in the Kesef Mishnah is another good example. Okay, so much for kinyan sudar. Now let's move on to let's move on to the shutva. So again, there were two deos in the Gemara here on Daf Gimel. Right, about how you accomplish, how you escape the problem of kinyan dvarim. One was Rabbi Yochanan, right? Amar Rabbi Yochanan shekana biyadon, and then the Gemara said shekana biyadon beruchos, And that we already discussed is machlokas harishonim, right? What does kana biyanim beruchos mean? Most rishonim say a real kinyan, right? Achshav. And others say, no, no, it's still future oriented, but you can, you know, a kinyan devarim that kind of works, you know, if you're mevarer the ruchos. Maybe that's a pshat in the Rambam according to the tour, right? And or even not according to the tour. And, you know, and maybe Rabbeinu Gershom, right? And then Rav Ashi says, "Kagon shalav zeh b'toch shalo v'hichzik v'zeh b'toch shalo v'hichzik." Okay, good. So the question is twofold. Okay, number one, does shutfus have any, you know, relevance, right, to this issue? Does the fact that we're talking about Chalukas HaShutfim, is that relevant here? And like a sub, you know, question, I guess, is does it make a difference whether we're talking about Kedei Chaluka or Shalo Kedei Chaluka, you know, when we talk about Shutfas? When Rav Ashi says what he says, is there any, what's the Chiddush, basically? We all know that Kinah Chazaka works in Karka, so what's the point of the Gemara? So is shutfus a factor? Does it matter what kind of shutfus? Is this the regular kinyan chazaka, or is there something unusual here? And we've already noted that, you know, one group of rishonim, okay, there might be three unusual, you know, elements here. Maybe Ezra, one of the three, or some. Why is this Kinyan Chazaka notable and maybe different, and therefore... Number one, do both of them have to make a Kinyan? Right? It sounds like in the Gemara, if you just take the Gemara, it says, Kugon Shahalak Zeh B'Tok Shalo V'Hichzik, right? And then we have the Gersa here, V'Zeh B'Tok Shalo V'Hichzik. But is that really true? Right? Do both need to do it, or is it enough to have one do it? That's one thing to look at, right? Where do we encounter such a phenomenon elsewhere? Is that like problematic or an issue?
Machlif para bechamor.
Excellent. Machlif para bechamor. What is that?
So he says only one of them is.
If kimin shezachazeh kana chaveiro bechalipav or something like that. The Gemara in Kedushin Daf Chavkas, which also appears in Azav, right? The Gemara Bamitziah. What kind of kinyan is that?
That's shava b'shava.
Ah, shava b'shava what?
It's like the chalipin that Rabbeinu Tam.
Chalipin, yeah. I mean, again, Rabbeinu Tam will tell you it's like that. Chalipin or Rabbeinu Tam, but right, it's chalipin. But that Rabbeinu Tam will tell you is chalipin shava b'shava, but it's kinyan chalipin, right? So that's like a little mechudash, right? Or not? Could that be a paradigm for other things, like breaking up a shutfus and chazaka? What do you think, Shai? I said to you, oh, we have this model in Chalipin, where, you know, two people acquire, you know, cheftzas, even though only one person does the actual pe'ulas ha-kinyan. So, you know, we're good. Or no? Not so obvious.
They're not, like, swapping land. They're just each acquiring their section. It depends if you think that the shutfus...
Exactly. So it's not so... Meaning, let's say it this way. In the case of Chalipin, how come it works in Chalipin? Even without shutfus.
It's all one kinyan, really. They're just switching their...
Because the nature of kinyan chalipin is that it's a kind of... Especially shava b'shava, sounds like it's a kind of barter. Let me put it this way. If either the chalipin about which we say this is kinyan sudar, and there's no difference between shava b'shava and other things, in which case, that's just a dip. That's what we've just been talking about, right? That's just a totally different kind of a kinyan. Right, to begin with. So, you know, a It's all based on Gemiras Das, and part of the Gemiras Das, you know, works in both. This is Kehil Shekoda, Kehil Shemakna, but, you know, it's a Sudar thing, right? Or, more likely, it's a kind of barter, and it's Chalipe, it's Shava, Chalipe Shava B'Shava. Not literally Shava B'Shava. It doesn't have to be the same amount. I mean, Rabbeinu Tam discusses what Shava B'Shava means, right? And if that was what the Gaon, or the Raivid's suggestion for the Gaon in Shita Gubetzes of Avasudav Me'oman Aleph, like Shalaf Ishnalo, you know, it's a parallel to that, meaning it's an object. It doesn't have to be literally Shava B'Shava. Whatever. But the point is, if there is something called a barter or an exchange type kinyan, it isn't kesef, it's not value. It's barter. Barter means exchanging, you know, be'ens. So when you exchange be'ens, the idea that, you know, it's a kind of, you know, one does it, you know, we've it basically means we've kind of set up a relationship between these two objects. They are now, you know, in correspondence of each other. You know, and then when you're zoche with one, you know, then the other one automatically, you know, moves into that's what barter kind of an exchange is. You know, I pull it and then the other one automatically, you know, can almost see it like, you know, physical image. You know, but you know, obviously they don't need to be near each other at all. That's what exchange means. That's what barter means. Barter isn't value, right? Barter is, you know, an exchange of the ends. So somehow, the chiddush in the kinyan, I guess, is that you can establish like this kind of correspondence to begin with, like the parah and the chamor, or wherever they are, right? And then, you know, whatever you do with one, it's the yin and the yang, you know. Whatever you do with one automatically switches the other. But the switching is part of the exchange process. But chazaka isn't a switching kinyan. Mashiach is not a switching kinyan. Right? So how do you... I'm not saying you can, but, you know, the phenomenon of, you know, only one doing it and then the other, you know, having the effect, I'm just saying it's not necessarily a great paradigm. Unless... Well, let me say it this way. In the case of barter, you know, as I just said, there are two elements. And the question is, are there really two different elements independently? Or, you know, it's not a coincidence and they're connected. One element is the correspondence, the setup, the fact that you have, you know, quid pro quo, you know, these two things, right? And then the methodology or the modality of the kinyan is such that it's an exchange barter kinyan. So, you know, whatever you do, you know, triggers the opposite or triggers the parallel effect. What's, of course, interesting is that in the context of chazaka, I mean, kinyan chazaka is definitely not, you know, an exchange or a... It's not that kind of a kinyan at all of Chalipin. In that respect, the paradigm is completely unconvincing. However, what about a situation where, you know, there is like a correspondence already? Right? And that, of course, you may have... I'm just looking at each of these for a minute, and then we're going to go race to the details on Thursday, but... Or we'll start today if we can. But so what about shutfas? Right? In shutfas there can be a correspondence because the two, you know, together own something. Right? And now they're undoing that, or they're redistributing, or they're undoing, whatever it is. So the correspondence part of it, let's say you have two shutfas. So if I take this, then you take that. You know, if we agree upon the chalukas hashutfas, you know, then that part of the paradigm is pretty good. But the second part of the paradigm isn't good at all, right? I mean, the mode of the kinyan isn't helpful, but the correspondence is helpful. Is that going to be enough? Maybe. Okay. So that's one issue, right, Ezra? I think you were on a roll here, right? That's one issue. What's the second issue? Lechazeku kni. Excellent. That's the second thing we have to look at. If typically there's a required lechazeku kni, you know, what about shudfas? Do you need it or not? Okay. Mostly we should be looking at the possibility of being mekel. Right? Although we'll discuss the possibility of being machmir maybe too. But of course that's going to depend, just like the exchange point is going to depend, like how you understand it. Like what does lechazek ukni bring to, you know, to the process? Why do you need lechazek ukni? Is that something which is a core requirement, you know, in kinyan chazaka? Right? Or other kinyanim? Or just, you know, more of a technicality. I don't understand. It's claiming that it's out of.
Yeah, it's good, I think.
Oh, okay. Like it's unacceptable for it to claim, you know, that its power is not acceptable. Okay. Yeah. So the you know, is lechazek ukni a core requirement? In which case, you know, how do we understand it? And not only how do we understand it, but then how do we, you know, how easy is it to do without? I mean, then it sounds like it's a pretty fundamental, difference, you know, if there are circumstances of kinyan chazaka, you know, that, you know, where this demand is dropped. Let's say things like shudfas or other such things. Orno, lechazeku kni, is much more, you know, kind of practical. You know, we just want to make sure, like, you know, that you weren't chozer before you do the kinyan. You can agree to do something, like, you know, one last check, you know. I have to tell you, yeah, lechazeku kni. Go ahead. You know, it's like with, you know, when the, they say, do you really want to delete, you know, that thing? Right? So, you know, they're just, you know, a little bit of psychological pressure, maybe, but you know, it's a little bit you know, just a security feature, we'll call it. In which case, you know, dropping it, you know, is still needs to be explained, but, you know, obviously the implications are less, you know, significant. So lechazek ukni is something that we talked about a little bit last year for those people who are here. You know, Mesiras HaMafteach. So we're going to get back to that and that whole discussion. You know, do you need lechazek ukni, you know, for kinyan or also for skiras? You don't need lechazek ukni when the person is befanav. Sounds that way, right? So, like, what's that all about? Does that show, you know, that shalom befanav? I'm sorry, befanav is ki'ilu amar lechazek ukni, so it's kind of misleading. Or is it more like, again, you know, that extra security feature? You don't need the extra security feature if the guy's sitting right here. So that these are all questions, you know, to think about, but that is a second area of interest. Whether shutfas is an afkamin of lechazek ukni or not. Okay. And the third one? Ezra?
Not sure the third name,
yeah. The third one's more difficult. What do you think? He said maybe.
Whether it's arguing with?
Arguing with?
With
the Vyotman? Oh, yeah, no, I hear that. That is a good point. We discussed that a little bit already. Right? You know, is it a second answer or is it a rejection of the first answer? I was saying that if, you know, you take what I think is the Torah's pshat in the Rambam, or the Rabbeinu Gershom, that is that Rabbi Yochanan was saying there is a kind of kinyan dvarim that actually works, you know, baruchos, that you could say that Ravashi is saying, no, I don't think that's true. And, you know, we must be talking about chazak. Okay. But what I really had in mind is something else, and that is a more obscure discussion, and that is the methodology of chazaka different for shutfas? I don't mean just lechazek, not lechazek ukni, which is kind of an additional requirement. And I don't mean whether you need, you know, each one to be kone, or one triggers the other, which are those are the two things we're discussing. What I mean is, what really constitutes an act of chazaka you know, qualitatively, like, you know, what's classic Chazaka, Ezra? Classic Chazaka. What? Yeah. Right, exactly. Well, how would you characterize that? I mean, those are the cases, and what would it, like... okay. You're a step ahead. Maybe a year ahead, right?
Yeah.
But, correct. No, 100%. But we'll discuss that in just a second. But, I mean, what I would say is Maisa Begufa, you know, Maisa Tikkun, you know, Begufa Davar, right? Noal Godar Parat, etc. Let's say you do something, and this is, I think, what you have in mind, which is, you know, not as intense or doesn't really qualify as a Maisa Tikkun or a Maisa Beguf, you know, Shinui Begufa Davar. For example, let's say you just... walk through the territory, halicha, right? So that wouldn't necessarily work in a typical chazaka, something like that. Or let's say we were, you know, since we are on it already, there's a debate among the Rishonim. That's what we talked about last year. That's what I want to look at again. And it's very, very important, obviously, for Cheskes Habatim too. There's a debate among the Rishonim, Ezra, regarding Rambam and the Ravid, regarding what case? Regarding Chazaka, Kinnah Chazaka. If you can do a Kinnah Chazaka, Hefker is an afkamina. You're totally on the right track. What's the actual case? Not Nol Godar Uparat, which is a classic chazaka. Let's say you did something much, much flimsier, for example. Let's say you were machzik in the peros. Right? So if you're machzik in the peros, so, which is what, kind of what you were referring to before a little bit, right? In our last year discussion. Mm-hmm. If you're machzik in the peros of the sada, not in the gufa sada, is that considered a chazaka or not? Right? So let's just talk about that. We don't have so much time, so let's just... And then we're going to race through the actual details next time. But there's also one other big issue to plan out. Ezra? That's the Rambam and the Ravid, where... The Perak Aleph Hilchos Mechira, what is it, Halacha Tes Zion? You have it? Is it Tezvav? Yeah, for it's Tezvav and Tes Zion, correct. Go ahead. You can't do a Gadol and a Paratz, right? Because it just isn't that, physically it isn't that kind of Sada, right? What do you do? Yeah. Says the Rambam, in other words, if you're machzik, and if you treat it, you know, through its payroll, through its tashmishim, you know, you're machzik, and the tashmishim of the karka, right, that's good enough. Okay, keep going. Amocher karka chaveiro. What? Then just the next... okay, you'll do the Ravid first. Go ahead. What's he saying? Achilas Peros is a chazaka, but that's the chazaka sheyesh lo taina of what? Of like cheskes kibbushanim. Like a guy says, oh, I've been living in the field, and I've been, you know, eating the crops, you know, for 3 years. Right? That's the sugyas in cheskes habatim. Right? Aval. Yeah. Meaning, and this is the question, I touched on it again earlier this year as well. We're talking about Kinyan Tashmishim, right? And the question of, you know, is that just Mechila? Or kind of a commitment not to go to court? Not to charge Tashlumin? Right? Or, you know, is the Chazkas Tashmishim like really a kind of a Kinyan? right? Like a bailus on Tashmishim. You know, things that you exclude from your sovereignty and so on and so forth. So I think I mentioned then, and soon I mentioned it last year, that the relationship between Cheskas Gimel Shonim, the Raya, or the Taina, and Cheskas Kinyan is a huge debate among the Rishonim. Again, the third parak of Al-Basra, you know, deals with both topics, right? Most of it is, the beginning part is all about Cheskas Gimel Shonim, the Taina, Chazaka Sheshima Taina, right? And in the anyway, in the Nun's part of the Perek, you know, deals with Kinyan Chazaka. Kinyan Chazaka, where there's an agreed upon transfer, not a dispute about, you know, not a Hilchos Tovim V'Nidan issue, which is, you know, Cheskas Gimel Shonim, but a Hilchos Mechira issue. So you could say, and a lot of people do say, you know, that the notwithstanding the common terminology and, you know, venue, third parak of Basra, right, it's really Hailuchu Dekoi v'Hailuchu Dekoi. They have nothing to do with each other. One is about Raya, Achsik Bo Kedem Chatzki Bo Inshi, you know, to buttress your claim that you own the field, that you bought it, that you inherited it, whatever the case may be. You know, that's one issue. And then there's another issue when you have, you know, an agreed upon, you know, kakna, or mechira, or schia, you know, so you're kone, bedera, chazaka, but, you know, they have very little to do with each other. The Rambam, in a few cases, there are a few cases in Cheskas Avatim, you know, that, you know, are disputed in Rishonim. That some Rishonim say, oh, that's talking about Cheskas Gimel Shonim. And others say, no, what are you talking about? That's Kinyan Chazaka. And the Rambam actually, you know, Tzana de Peira, the Rambam says, no, it's actually both. Like, how could it be both? A case that's referring to both? Like, you know, again, what I call intentional ambiguity, you know. But, like, what would be the point of that? Or why would that be? And that, I think, because the Rambam is Lashitaso, the Rambam doesn't think it's a coincidence, Kinyan Chazaka and Rais. Of course, there are many, many differences between them. But the Rambam thinks that there's also a very strong affinity between them. We'll talk about it just one more second. So what does the Ravid say? Omer Avram, Hamilsa lo mechavra, dehai chazaka achilas perosi, vachilas peros lo mehani ala keneged taina, meaning cheskas gimel shonim. Aval mikne ara lo kani, ala midi de mehani la ara, kenal gadar paretz. So the Rambam obviously disagrees. This is an example of the Rambam, you know, disagree. So, read the next halacha just for a minute. Shari Hichsik. Ve'einechad yachalachseva. Okay. V'chein amasaf amocher sal. That's the tzan of the peiros gemara that I was talking about, which he paskins here and in Hilchos Toin V'netan. Very interesting. Okay. V'chein amasaf amocher sal shal peiros. The Nasan, go ahead. Yep. Okay. That's the Rambam. What does Ravid say? Okay, so the other part of the puzzle, again, this is something we discussed last year when we were talking about the Sugim Mesir Samafteach and of a Socher in terms of Bedikas Chametz. So the other part of the puzzle is the Rambam in Hilchos Sechiya, right? Perek Beis. What's that? That's what you were referring to also, Ezra, right? What's that about? Yeah, go ahead. Halacha Aleph and Beis. Nichse Ger. There's no right? There's no makne. It's hefker, right? So derech midarche chazaka is fine. Chutz meachilas peros. Unless you toss achilas peros works when there's a makne. But you should know it doesn't work here. Okay, Ketzad. Then Maisha the Isha Achas. Go ahead. Yeah. Wow. Right? I always feel so badly when I read that, you know, about that case. But and what's particularly intriguing, so what does the Ravid say here? And then what's also interesting is Halacha Gimel, even though it's a different point, but you'll see in a moment. Ezra, go ahead. Yesh Dvar Rabim. Lo Kan Adayin. Okay, and then so on. He continues. What's intriguing about why did I have you read Halacha Gimel? Difference, but the opposite difference. Now, if I were to say to everybody here, like, which standards are more rigorous? In terms of, you know, acquiring a sade bekinyan chazaka, right? Acquiring from a makne or acquiring from hefker, right? So I'm sure most people, you know, again, not the iconoclasts, but you look behind you. I like that. You know, most people would say what? Simcha Leib. Hefker's easier. There's no resistance. Correct? You don't need to overcome. You don't need to take it away from anybody. Ah, and that's Halacha Gimel. Right? The Hagdara of what constitutes a Maisa Chazaka Begufa Karka is easier accomplished in Nichsei Ager or Hefker than in Das Makne. Right? Which is why it's so intriguing that if the Rambam, Im Kvar Az Kvar, if the Rambam has a Chiddush that Chazaka V'Peiros is effective to be Kona the Gufa Davar, right? And that's a Shita Nuchas Mechira. So how come that Dafka doesn't work in Nichsei Ager? Should be easier to acquire Nitzayagir. Right? Yet he's very adamant about it. Right? It's not like, oh, there's like, you know, a Gemara, you know, regarding Nitzayagir, it doesn't work out, so, you know, what can the Rambam do? He's on his own here, pretty much. He didn't have to interpret the Gemara about Sana, the Peira, and all those things as referring to both Keskas Gimel Shanim and Cheskas Kenyan to begin with, frankly. That's already a very remarkable thing to do. One which bespeaks, you know, a certain, you know, confidence and conviction. And he probably didn't need to make this particular chiluk, either. Ah, so the explanation of the Rambam, this is what we spoke about last year, as far as what? Meaning, but that you're already on the seifa, you know. Yeah. Meaning that the nature of kinyan chazaka, which is unique, as I said before, like, you know, there are different types of kinyan, and that's a huge, huge Baba Basra topic. You know, of course, it's all over the place, especially kiddushin, you know. But a good chunk of it is, you know, especially kinyanim on metaltalin, you know, or by metaltalin I also mean, you know, animals and things like that. You know, these are our Bava Basra topics. There's, you know, our Kiddushin topics, Bava Basra topics, and of course it comes up in a million other places too. Ksuva is Kiddushin. But, I mean, Ksuva is Bamitziah. But, you know, the main. So, you know, within, there are like different categories, like Kinyan Begufa Davar, you know, Kinyan, you know, where there's a Maisa, but it's not Begufa Davar, or there's Shivui. You know, and then there's a kinyanim of, you know, Gemiras Das, like, you know, broadly speaking, different categories. We spent a little time on kin and sudar. You know, there are other things. I say hey nada dharma nikun bamira, situmta. You know, we know about the connection between shtar and kin and sudar. Fine. Sometimes shtar is grouped with sudar. Sometimes it's grouped, you know, with kesef. You know, and then typically we think of, you know, like Meshicha, Hagba'a, Chazaka, Misira. You know, we think of those things, you know, as a unit, as a group. And that's an interesting question. Is that really true or not? You know they are Maisa B'Gufa Davar, for sure. There's a Maisa objective action. But the truth is, every Kenyan also emphasizes, as I discussed, a different dimension of bilus, or at least of Havara's bilus. And that's why, you know, some, you know, emphasize Hakna, and some emphasize Kinyan, you know, and the venues are relevant to that. You know, do you make the Kinyan, you know, in the Rosh Hashanah? You know, can you make it in Rishus HaRabim? You know, all those questions are important questions. So what is the particular nature of Chazaka? Right? So what, Ezra, what's the indication, at least for the Rambam anyway? Exactly. It sounds like the Rambam in particular holds that Chazaka is not just a Maisa, Kinyan, you know, Begufa Karka per se. It's a way of establishing, you know, being mora bilus, horas bilus. Because of the... Oh. So number one, that dictates the kind of actions, you know, that we're talking about. Number one. And number two, it seems to be very consequential, reasonably consequential, for, you know, distinguishing between Das Makne and Das Seger. Right? So when there is an owner, you know, it's, you have to resist and override his ownership. So the things you need to do, right, in order to you know, demonstrate that you are now the owner, right? To take hold, you know, the haksig, that's what chazaka means. Like, you know, to grab hold of the property and to act like an owner. You know, are probably things that are more, you know, inflammatory, you know, to the previous owner, you know, more objectively, you know, expressions or manifestations of ownership, etc., as opposed to hefker. On the other hand, the fact that you have an audience, right, the fact that you are getting away with what you're doing is part of the horos bilus itself, right? Because if something is nitzei ager, anybody can do whatever they want there. So in terms of resistance, you're resisting the owner, but you also the audience of the owner, right? Also, facilitates the status of whatever it is that you're doing as horos bilus. So what the Rambam is really telling us is that, yeah, if you want to know is whether it's easier to accomplish kin and chazaka, you know, the nitzei ager, behefker, or in a situation of bilus, the answer is mixed. And those are the two cases. Right? And what is kin and what is peros? So the idea is that, again, if you objectively want to, you know, be machzik bakarka, then you should be machzik bakarka. The Rambam says kinyan chazaka is a kinyan in the karka. So you have to take hold of the karka. Right? Being mashtiach peros or things like that, you know, it's nothing to do with the gufa karka, which you're trying to win over. And the Rambam says, no, just like in Raya, the issue is machzik ba kedem chazki ba inshi, to act like an owner. not objectively to do a maisa begufa shel karka. It's to be more keilu, right, by limhu. So that's why the Rambam thinks that, you know, if you do a chazaka, you know, betashmishim, if it's inflammatory or, you know, enough, if it should, you know, if it's something that no non-owner would dare do, you know, given the, you know, presence of and resistance of the previous owner, then the fact that it's not begufa karka is irrelevant. But at the same time, you lose totally that, you know, value in the sadishal hafker. Right? Because anybody can pick the peros or do whatever they want in the karka. There's no one to say no. There's no defiance of an owner. So the Rambam says, now again, are there two types of chazaka, or is this two types of haras bailas? Hard to say. You have to look for other issues. But what the Rambam is saying is, yes, you do need a maisa begufa karka in a sadishal hafker, because you don't have the, you know, symbolic, you know, impact, you know, in sadishal hafker of being machzik v'peirosav. So you have two opposite dinim in sadishal hafker. You need a more intense nal gadar paratz type of. You need a less intense nal gadar paratz objective maisa begufa karka in order to be machzik it, because you don't have to override anybody's ownership. You don't have to take it away from anybody. You just need to be machnis birshusha. On the other hand, not having that resisting force, right, dooms, you know, the methodology of pure horas bailas, you know, peros. Ah. So why is this relevant to what we're talking about now? So, for example, lechazeku kni, is that related to horas bailas? Maybe you need to, or befana, either befana or lechazeku kni. May very well be. Or is it just so you're worried about, you know, chazara? So the Balei Tosfos, for example, think that, based on the Gemaras, that Nesiras HaMafteach, this is what we discussed last year, like handing somebody a key, is the equivalent of saying Lechazeku Kni. Because, you know, then clearly you're not being chozer, and therefore it's mamish like Lechazeku Kni, and Befanav also is like Lechazeku Kni. Or because Lechazeku Kni, again, is part of the demonstrative Horos Bailos, you know, and Mesiras HaMafteach does that too. Okay, but having said that, so is there a difference between shutfus and a standalone regular kinyan, yesh me'ayin kinyan? May very well be. But would you need more, or would you need less for a chazak and a shutfus, as opposed to, you know, yesh me'ayin? I don't really mean yesh me'ayin. You know, a regular kinyan chazak. Asher, more or less? Yeah. Again, it could go both ways in the same parallel that we had for Nitzei Ager, right? More likely, you need less if you assume, but this, of course, is what we're talking about, there's a shutfus part of all this, right? If you're talking about, if shutfus alpidin, you know, when you break up the shutfus and you reallocate, or that's what you're doing, you're reallocating or redistributing, or you're just being misalek, the kinyan, ha-shutfim, or you're just being mevarer, there are different ways to say it. So then you should require less. Right? Because everybody's already the owner. The only question is separating out, you know, or creating boundaries, or specifying. You know, there are different ways to say it, but you get the basic idea. On the other hand, because the chazakah is less dramatic in terms of the change that it's accomplishing, right? And the resistance level, you know, or defiance level is less provocative. In theory, you might need more. Okay? So in light of that, so there are basically two issues. One is, you know, what is really happening in the breaking up of the shutfas? And does it matter whether it's a kedei chalukah or a not kedei chalukah shutfas? That's question number one. And question number two is, even if that is different than a regular kenyan, how will it express itself in terms of lechazek ukni, in terms of only needing one as opposed to two kinyanim, but also in terms of the third question, and that is the quality of the chazaka that you need. For example, let's say, I mentioned halicha, which is the discussion of the Rishonim, but also let's talk about, kinyan peros. What about kinyan peros? Let's say you were machzik in the peros. Would it make a difference whether it's shutfas? In the same way that it makes a difference for nechse ager, would it make a difference, and in which direction for shutfas? Or what we discussed last year, which is, would there be a difference? Just like, some Rishonim think there's a difference between chazaka for schirus and chazaka for kinyan gamor. Right? That, in a way, parallel to chazaka breaking up a shutfas, as opposed to chazaka, buying from a single owner, and fully transferring the title. Okay, so that's what I want to discuss Mirat Hashem on Thursday, to try to go through those things. So make sure you look at the Gemara in Kuvav, and that Reb Chaim. If you, the Kovet Shurim of Chana Vasserman has a very small, too small, I think, pieces on Gimel Amud Aleph, which he kind of captures, some of the questions about Breira and the Reb Chaim and Hashkenim, but the Rambam and the Ravid and in Perek Beis Hashkenim Alacha Yud Yud Aleph. So do you need a kit? The one question I didn't discuss, I didn't even raise yet, is that question, which is, do you need a kinyan at all in breakup of shutfas? We're talking about, are the dinei kinyan different? The lechazek ukni, halicha, one person, two people, maybe you don't need a kinyan at all when you break up a shutfas. That seems to be the implication of a Gemara in Dav Kuvav, but not the Gemara here on Dav Gimel. Okay, so those are things, again, I don't want to spend so much time, and then I want to move on to Beis HaKnesses and do a couple of other quick topics to get us to Runya. Okay.